Hello and welcome to Keep You Posted. Today is Saturday, April 25th, 2020. My name is Hannah Trab. I'm a comedian, law student, and yesterday I painted each of my nails a different color because I had time. I'm joined as always by my wonderful friend and producer, Ross Wiseman.
Hello. I combed my beard and now I can't help but like eat my mustache hairs constantly.
How's that going?
Well, I'm eating hair, so about as well as you would expect.
Do you use beard oil?
I do, but I usually put it on if I'm going out or trying to impress, and that's not really happening these days.
I kissed a guy who had beard oil on, and it smelled really good, and I think about it all the time.
Yeah, oh, I like it a lot. It makes me feel like a cool, confident person that's constantly being followed by just, like, eucalyptus as a thing.
Great! Well, we're joined today for the entire episode by a special guest, a stand-up comedian and friend of mine, all the way from Los Angeles, Blake Wexler!
Thank you for having me. Thanks for introducing me this time. Normally, I just sit in on these, and on every podcast, I am sitting in on it. I just don't say anything.
On ours?
Yeah, every single one, I am present.
You think you've asked really harsh notes, and like, I'm going to dish it out right now.
Exactly.
Oh, here's. I guess today we're going to introduce Blake for the first time. All right, Blake, don't blow. Otherwise, you're
quiet. I find you both to be pitchy. And I have a lot of other issues, but we'll get into the structure of the show later.
Yeah, we got to start auto-tuning these podcasts for safety.
How funny would that be?
I love it. All right, well, as always, today our episode is dedicated to the healthcare workers and essential employees who are fighting COVID-19 on the front lines. We are very grateful for you. Before we get started, just a quick note, guys. Keep You Posted mascot and favorite politician/billionaire/former presidential candidate/all-around-nice-dude Tom Steyer is in the news because he's on a task force, which probably explains why he hasn't been getting back to me to set up an interview. What are your guys' thoughts on Tom Steyer? If you say anything bad, Blake, it's done.
I have nothing bad to say about him. I've always had explosive styria since he began running for president. He is for a man who looks like saying that someone looks like a bird is an insult, but for him it gives him a gravitas and a knowledge like an extinct bird, one of those large ancestors of the emu. And he's amazing. You know, he had one issue. He was a one issue politician. And he got knocked out of the race. But now, California has been handling the coronavirus in response to it, I think, better than almost any other state has. You know, they haven't had the same pressure that New York has had. But, bring in Tom Steyer. Like, that's a guy you can trust.
Yeah. Max Barth, when he was on the podcast, called Tom Steyer the only human in a Muppet movie.
I love it. That's so funny.
I like that. Yeah. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, put Tom Steyer on the task force for business and jobs recovery. And since he's been so successful in business, he's an ideal candidate for this task force. That's what Gavin Newsom said. Also, we've talked about this before on the podcast because we talk about Tom Steyer so often. By the way, if you're playing the Keep You Posted drinking game, take a shot. But Tom Steyer does not like when he's called billionaire in headlines. So like, it's funny because he's often referred to as a billionaire, Tom Steyer. And I was looking this up and it said, billionaire former presidential candidate, Tom Steyer. And I was like, damn, they're just adding to his title, but they won't stop calling him a billionaire. That's great.
Well, that is his primary characteristic. You know, like there aren't like it is his most original thing that you can say about him. It's just like, yeah, aging white man, Tom Steyer. Like there are only so many billionaires.
That's true. That's very true. And three of them are here on this podcast.
And that's why this is a podcast for the 1%. And that's why I appreciate you inviting me on it so much. That's why I feel comfortable.
That's great. Yeah. All right. Well, on today's episode, we're going to be talking don't drink disinfectant. President Trump suggested maybe chewing on Tide Pods or something to get rid of COVID-19. Let's talk about that. Then we're going to do a special segment with Blake on sports. No, it's on.
No, that's right.
What were you trying to say, Hannah? Sports.
I've never heard a sentence be ended with an ellipses and a question mark.
Like, well, I realized I had forgotten to add exactly what you had told. So I just written on my outline, Blake talks about sports.
I'm going to talk about The Last Dance, the 8-part, 10-part documentary series on ESPN about Michael Jordan.
Yes, sports related. And then our final segment will be one that you guys are going to just super duper love. I'm going to explain the difference between a corporation and an LLC. And I know that sounds boring, but it's definitely not. So, or maybe it is, and I don't really know. Oh, and then we'll do HTHT, and we're talking about television. Mm. So it's gonna be a great episode. Let's do it. President Donald Trump recently said this at a press conference. And then I saw the disinfectant where it knocks it out in 1 minute. And is there a way we could do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning? As you see, it gets in the lungs. It does a tremendous number on the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. He was talking about disinfectant cleaner that you would use in your home. And
that's the first time I've heard that quote, like, actually in full, rather than just being like spat out and repeated by all these different people. And whew, that's a doozy of a quote.
Yeah, I have so he later walked it back and was like, I was being sarcastic.
Oh, okay, cool. That was a fun segment. Moving on.
Yeah. So, but like, even like, so everyone, of course, is immediately like doctors and health professionals were like, hey, don't drink disinfectant. Like Lysol tweeted, like, don't. I've been eating Tide Pods for years. So, you know.
It's done wonders for your skin, by the way. clean as hell.
Yeah, my burp bubbles.
Well, it's my favorite. It's almost, you know, like, you have different schools of improv, of like, you have the UCB, you have Groundlings, there's Second City, and Trump has his own, like, improvisational style in that it's say something that you don't expect yourself to say. So he is improvising. These weren't thoughts that he has.
Yeah, he didn't think he would go into this. Yeah.
100%. So it occurred to him as he was speaking, and he said it, and it surprises him. And then he starts rambling about, like, ways to, you know, like, just different branches off that statement. Like, mm-hmm. You know, it's in your lungs. That's clean. It's just free word association. You know, like, it does a number on the lungs where it's vague enough where you're like, what do you mean it does a number on the, like it kills your, it takes your lungs out. You know, what's good for lungs, having fluid in them in a time where, you know, COVID-19 can give you pneumonia. It makes no goddamn sense. And then for him to say that he was being sarcastic, it's like a child being like, you know, being called out for something that they did wrong. And you're just like, well, I'm kidding.
It's like, no, a joke, America.
Yeah, no, it was a joke. It's like, no, it wasn't. You're being serious.
And like, it's just so funny because, I mean, it's scary that like the three of us know that this advice is not true and it wasn't actual advice. And he didn't say it of like a go home and eat bleach, but he said it in like, we should try that, which is like scary enough. But there are people that listen to him and like take his advice. And also, what a hilarious image, the idea of like all these, or not image, a hilarious like picture or thing that happened after of just businesses and politicians and doctors and so many people coming together, even Fox and Friends, just to say, hey, maybe don't eat bleach.
Like, yeah,
we're all in on this together. We should make sure no one's eating bleach. Again, Tide Pods, they're totally safe.
When you're being fact-checked by a cleaning wipe company and you're the president of the United States, it's not a good sign. It's not a good look.
Oh, man. I honestly, like, I was talking to my parents about this morning, and I don't watch CNN. I don't have CNN, and I don't watch a lot of television, like, cable news. So, but this is, like you said, it's so funny to me. Like, I heard that, and I was like, of course he said that. course, that's so funny. He's so funny. It's like, and it's frustrating because he's not always trying to be. And I don't know if it would be funny if he wasn't him in this context. Like, part of me thinks it would probably be funnier if he wasn't the president. Like, if he was just still that guy.
It would definitely be funnier if he wasn't the president. If it was just, if it was like just, oh yeah, that reality TV host that's like making weird suggestions. Totally, go for it.
So, so that was really, I just wanted to address that. Any other thoughts on eating Tide Pods? Don't tell me to stop eating Tide Pods.
Well, the thing is, I mean, the advice of like drinking bleach, have you like tried to find bleach in a store recently? It's impossible. Yeah, that's
true. Right. It's like at a liquor store, it's, you know, like on the top shelf next to like Johnny Walker purple or whatever the fuck the top one is. It's just, it's very expensive.
Does this bleach come in pink lemonade?
Yeah.
Of course. I need mixers for my bleach.
I need top shelf bleach.
He's such a, he's just, like you were saying, just people having to clean up his mess. It's like watching, you know, like a human size, you know, like a 6'4" toddler waddling around. It's like, oh fuck, he's gonna break it. Like, oh, make sure he doesn't walk into that corner on this the end table or something, you know. Everyone's always trying to like point him away, like, you know, the president, he means well, but don't eat cleaning products.
It's kind of like when your family would have like a dinner party and then you like mention that somebody is pregnant and they're not pregnant, and it's kind of like, well, he's 5 years old and he doesn't know anything. Sorry about that, everybody.
Did you do that?
No, I was a good boy. I put on plays for my parents' dinner guests.
That's okay. That's something we're going to have to need to address at a later time. All right, everyone.
Hot takes, kids performing for adults. It's fun.
So on that note, everybody, cheers to you with your Tide Pods. Eat those all you want, but do not drink bleach. And now, our next segment, we are very lucky to have Blake Wexler, who is here to tell us about sports, basketball, I think. Go for it, Blake.
That was the introduction I sent you. Thank you so much.
Did I sound like a sports announcer?
You did. Adding basketball, I think. So I want to talk about The Last Dance on ESPN. It's this 10-part documentary series. What if I was like an executive producer on it, and this is my way of like plugging it? I'm not. So
We have a huge listener base that's gonna get this.
Oh my god. Well, I'm banking on that. Literally. So they essentially, why I'm interested in this, and I'm always I always hesitate to talk about sports and like entertainment format, because a lot of people who like comedy, it's hard to match sports with comedy and entertainment. And I have very specific unrelatable interests within those two things anyway. So I'll try to make this interesting. And that's been my goal since day one in this business. So what happened is that in 1998 season, and by the way, the reason why I find this interesting is that it's not only interesting for sports reasons, but for the entertainment business and entertainment trends. I think it's actually even more interesting in that for that business, that industry. Yeah. So The Last Dance, it's a documentary on ESPN. And basically in 1998, a camera crew followed around Michael Jordan, who's like the most famous athlete of all time, and his team, which is like the best team of all time.
Those things I did know.
Yes. So those two things, exactly. So we're 2 for 2 so far. And basically they have all this behind the scenes footage of like, they're in the locker room and, you know, they have footage of Michael Jordan, you know, like they're, so Michael Jordan's star player, the general manager of a basketball team is like the boss, and they hated this general manager, their boss, and they would treat him like shit. And like, they have video of Michael Jordan making fun of the guy for being like short and fat. Like, it's crazy. And they have the footage. So basically they have all this incredible stuff that, you know, Michael Jordan's one of the most famous people in the world.
Yeah.
People in the documentaries as an entertainment medium could not be more popular right now. You know, like you go on Netflix, it's everything.
Did an episode on Tiger King.
Yeah, of course, of course. And only one episode. So, you know, the fact that they can find this, you know, weirdo in Oklahoma and do 8 episodes on it, and yet this thing about Michael Jordan came out after that is, you know, when you think about it, like, logically insane. So they had this footage, and Michael Jordan is an interesting person because he basically owns everything that has to do with his likeness, and you actually could probably legally speak to that better than I can, but he essentially, with his likeness, so if you were playing a basketball video game growing up, you know, you have like all the players in the league in it, and it's like, oh, I'm Shaquille O'Neal, and there's a Shaquille O'Neal character, he has the Shaquille O'Neal jersey, his name O'Neal underneath the player while you're playing. Michael Jordan wouldn't let basketball video games use him in them because he was so protective over his likeness that there would just be Chicago Bulls player one would be his name in it because he wouldn't let them use it. So that's how
there's actually a famous case that is definitely I think was in my contracts textbook. I could go check in a little bit, but I'll do this later. Go ahead.
He is very, very careful about what gets released about him, and he owned the footage. So, you know, you have all this incredible footage, like a whole, you know, 82 games worth, you know, like half a year. And but he had no motivation to do anything with it because, you know, there's no way Michael Jordan is going to come out more successful at the end of a documentary because he's already the most successful person on earth. So they have this footage, it's locked away, and like, they just never, like, literally it was locked away in an NBA building. And then finally they got the right producers and director involved, and they went to pitch it to him. Like, hey, can we please release this shit? Like, everyone would want to see it. And the reason why it couldn't get traction initially, and it's crazy to think about now, is that because of how popular documentaries are, but the, you know, executives in charge or whatever were like, no one's going to want to watch a super long documentary. And then in 26, I know, it's hilarious now. And then the thing that actually helped get this launched is Making a Murderer became very popular, I think, in 2016.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, where that was kind of the first, you know, every episode's an hour long. There's 20 episodes, you know, like, it was a true crime one, which is obviously different than sports, but that was successful. Therefore, entertainment executives are like, okay, so there's a precedent that people would love to watch this shit. So they do all these interviews, and the scope of this documentary, just to show how impressive it is, in the first episode, they interviewed 2 former American presidents just appeared in this documentary.
What?
So Bill Clinton is in it, and President Obama is in it. And that's just like, and they were in it for like a few seconds, you know, like they're like, hey, all right, we can shuffle Bill Clinton out of here. We got to get to, you know, more interesting people to interview. It's crazy. It's every Sunday on ESPN, and they're doing it like back to back. So another interesting thing is, like, growing up, I never would have imagined this, but it's uncensored on ESPN itself. So like,
whoa!
You can turn on, isn't that strange? Like, Am I wrong there? I feel like that's crazy, right?
Yeah, wait. I guess they have to get... Do they do like a viewer discretion is advised thing? I guess legally they can do it somehow. I did find that,
they do.
By the way, so we can revisit that in a second about Michael
Jordan. Perfect.
And also, I think it's also like you can do and show a lot more after a certain time of day. Like, what time are they showing this documentary?
9 p.m. and... Ooh. Also, but they're doing a clean version on ESPN2. So they're using both of their networks to air this thing simultaneously. And they're using
The other way around.
I thought that too, but I think they're, which is also, you know, notable in that they're willing, by the way, Disney owns ABC and ESPN. So that's another odd thing that Disney would allow, you know, like people to say, like, you know, can I swear on this, by the way? Have I already?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah. Fuck shit ass. they could, you know, have swearing on a Disney owned, you know, broadcast channel. But so there's that. People would already be super psyched about it. But then COVID-19 hit. Sports have been canceled since for the past month and a half. There have been no sports.
Yeah.
So all these diehard sports fans are like jonesing to watch anything. So they moved up the premiere date of it to last week. They were originally going to have it air, I believe, in June or May.
That's and
they
smart. Moved.
Yeah, just because everyone's home and they just want people to have this, you know? So I think its ratings were absolutely insane. And one of the other interesting things here, and basically you have some of the most interesting personalities ever, and this is a thing too where Michael Jordan played in the 90s, and now with celebrities, there's TMZs everywhere. People can just take, you know, like with your phone, they can videotape you doing anything. Like, you know, if you mouth off in a a convenience store, if you're that famous, is going to get a video of it. Mm-hmm. But here there was no coverage of him. And Michael Jordan was such a fucking, like, psycho and a maniac that I think he would have just been universally hated if he was covered, got the type of coverage that you get in the, you know, 2010s, 2020s. He was a massive gambling addict to the point where during the NBA playoffs, he was playing the Knicks. And a night after the game, he took a he went to Atlantic City, gambled, got back at like 6 a.m., slept for 2 hours, went to practice, and then like scored 50 points that night. Like, the guy had no control over himself. He just had to always compete, and just this massive gambler. Also was a bully. Like, he ended up taking over an NBA team later in his life, and they drafted this really famous player, you know, like this really talented guy first overall, and the guy didn't try hard enough, so Michael Jordan bullied him into crying every single practice. And
that God!
Just, he's a psychopath. And there's these conspiracy theories that because Michael Jordan was such a big gambling addict, so this part, what I'm about to say is true. The second part is a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
Michael Jordan's father was murdered in his car at one point, and there's these conspiracy theories that Michael Jordan owed so much money or, like, gambled so much money that his father may have been murdered because of Michael Jordan's gambling.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
It's insane. And then Michael Jordan also quit basketball for a year. Like, it would be like if LeBron James just was like, yeah, I think I'm just going to go play tennis professionally. And then Michael Jordan played baseball for a season. Just like,
oh, yeah, I didn't know baseball. That.
Yeah, 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 we all saw Space Jam.
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. So, yeah, also the Monstars are in it. No, I'm kidding. That would be amazing. They couldn't get the Monstars. But it's just this
crazy... I mean,
they're
the ones that really have a gambling problem if I put my money on
do.
It.
They do. What currency did they even use? I guess, like, human lives. Isn't that what was the... It was a very high stakes. They get Earth?
I was going to say space bucks. No, it was... So the losers... the losers would be put in an alien zoo of some kind.
Right. It's funny. In my mind, it was like a forced labor camp in that, like,
it
Michael Jordan.
It basically is. Like, they were like, the Looney Tunes will bring people and they'll have to perform.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what it was. By the way, Bugs Bunny, much better at basketball than I thought. So, back to this documentary.
I remember the concept of that movie. I'm sure that I saw it, but you guys, this is also another thing, Blake, that happens on this podcast all the time, is I don't understand pop culture references. I know I've seen this movie. I just don't remember anything that you guys are saying.
I hear that in this documentary, like the second to last episode, Lola Bunny gives a scathing interview talking about how hard to work with Michael Jordan was.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, and they had chemistry.
Like, has he, like, mellowed out at all? Do we know?
He does
with commercials.
So he's mellowed out, but he still is, like... It's really interesting where whenever you have someone who's the best at what they do, that always fascinates me, where whatever it is, if it was the best violinist, I would want to watch that and just hear that person talk, because you can't be normal and be the best at something. Like, you have to be super cutthroat. You need to push, you know, you can't be the best, you know, pianist and also, like, be, you know, fun at a party or something. But you have to sacrifice certain, like, relationships in your life, or that's my theory, to be amazing at something. So Michael Jordan, he seems like he's mellowed out, where when he's being interviewed, the guy looks so cool. Like, he has a cigar and a glass of whiskey. One interesting thing is that, so his eyes are kind of yellow, and which is like an odd thing to say, but my our friend's a nurse, and she was like, oh, that's actually from liver issues. So yeah, he may have actually drank his way into yellow eyes, which is not 100% medically accurate, but quasi-medically accurate. So,
or maybe he just had, like, whatever happened to Michael Jackson at the end of the Thriller video.
Right. Well, he's still black. He didn't turn white. Is that what you're saying? No, I'm kidding. I haven't seen the Thriller. Wait, so at the end of the Thriller video, Michael Jackson becomes white.
When Michael yeah.
What happens to his eyes?
So Michael Jackson is like, hey, it's okay, girl in the graveyard. Like, everything's okay. And then he turns around and he has, like, scary cat eyes, and they're, like, yellow and creepy.
And then the video ends.
Yeah, so maybe Michael Jordan did a fun dance with a bunch of zombies, and then he had to break the fourth wall.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't want to spoil the documentary, but I think that's what happens in the final episode. But to just reply to your question, Hannah, he has mellowed out because he's in his, like, 60s now. But there are moments where the interviewer will ask him about something, and he'll get the same, like, anger, or, like, he'll remember a very small detail from his career. And then, oh, yeah, so basically his second season, this is what I'm talking about, he broke his foot. And the team was, you know, he's an asset to a team, so yeah, they want to protect that asset. And he wanted to come back and play, and there was a 10% chance that his career would be over. So they were like, hey, you're not allowed to play. And that angered him so much. And this was in 1985. And they asked him about it in, you know, 2020. And he was completely mellowed out. And then he remembers when they wouldn't let him play, and he just goes, man, they should have fucking let me play. And it was like it was happening to him in real time. Oh. That's how crazy he is. So that's so the documentary is primarily about him, but then you have this other cast of characters, and I won't go into every single one of them, but the most notable one is Dennis Rodman, and who is the most interesting person ever, where
yeah,
the guy, like, should not have even been he started basketball really, really late. He played with, like, gender roles, which was, like, oddly, you know, progressive for that time, where he would wear makeup and, you know, like, dresses, and which that, you know, even now with
he would paint his nails, right?
Yeah, yeah, he would paint his nails. And
for the record, men paint your nails. It's super hot.
It's sick. In my opinion. That's what I'm gonna do as soon as we're done. What if I did it while we were doing the podcast? It would be like, I took your note, but I'm also being rude by painting my nails. I always love the smell of nail polish, by the way.
Yeah,
it's the thing I always liked. Yeah. President Trump just suggested you should drink nail polish, by the way, if you want to clear up the mumps.
Get your eyes to turn yellow. Change your eye color. Pour nail polish in your eyes and see what happens.
It's perfect. It'll change your eye color. You'll be beautiful. So Dennis Rodman also, he dated, like, Madonna and Carmen Electra and all these famous people. He also tried to commit suicide at one point. Uh-huh. So just an incredibly, you know, layered, complex, you know, interesting person. There is a crazy thing that he did where he announced that he was going to get married, and that, like, in New York City, to plug his book that he wrote. And then he shows up in a wedding dress, and he was going to marry himself, which, as like a publicity stunt, I don't know how you top that. Like, it's brilliant.
Okay.
So the, you know, right now, even sports are just so, can be toxically mass, you know, toxic masculinity just flows throughout sports. And this was a guy 30 years ago who was wearing, you know, like, had eyelashes put on. It's so interesting.
But he's also insane.
Yes, insane. Where now, flash forward, the guy, is best friends with Kim Jong-un in North Korea.
That was the part I was getting to.
Yeah, yeah. He did, you know, it's sometimes you worry about athletes, like, who they surround themselves with. You know, maybe they have some bad influences from who they grew up with. But who could have seen that this guy's bad influence would be North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un? Oh. So Kim Jong-un was a huge basketball fan. And by the way, I'm not sure what tense to use with him, depending on what when this podcast comes out. But
It's Saturday. The news right now is that Kim Jong-un may be in some sort of vegetative state based on a heart surgery that he had. I did read a article that made sure to mention that his heart surgery was complicated because the doctor never performed surgery on an obese person. And I was like, a weird thing to point out, but we get the gist. Okay.
It's like, gee, I don't know if that needs to come out. Jesus Christ. Right. It's like, oh my God.
The doctor was inexperienced.
They brought in a walrus doctor used to operating on walruses. It's like, fuck it. Just say a veterinarian. Don't tell them. The man struggles with weight. So he watched, you know, North Korea doesn't have access to all of the channels or any channels. But for some reason, he had access to like 1990s basketball games. So he saw Dennis Rodman, was a big fan of the Jordan Bulls, asked Dennis Rodman to come to North Korea, and he went. So
why not?
No, yeah, of course. Why not? You know, like, I summer in North Korea.
Yeah.
So
I hope his nails were painted when he got there.
He was the same weirdo. Like, he showed up in like an Affliction t-shirt and, you know, this weird, you know, distressed denim hat, and like was so drunk. It's very weird to see a drunk, like a drunk person on television, even reality TV. It's still kind of off-putting, where it's like, geez, like, should we even be watching this person? Cause they don't know what they're doing. And that was him. But in North Korea, and he gives a speech. Like, all of this is in the documentary. It's absolutely insane. And to kind of put a button in this, I once had an interaction with Dennis Rodman on Twitter, where Dennis Rodman was on Celebrity Apprentice, and which at the time, like we were saying earlier, Trump as a president, not funny. Trump as a talk show host, very funny.
Oh yeah.
I would watch, because it's like watching, you know, an idiot try to run a company. It's like, that's funny. That's really, really funny.
My mom and I would watch that all the time. Like, it was just like, and the celebrity version was especially funny.
It was my favorite show. It's that's the biggest tragedy of Trump's presidency. I know a lot of people have been, you know, horrifically affected, you know, by his xenophobia and racism, but the big issue is I can't watch Celebrity Apprentice anymore. So Dennis Rodman was on Celebrity Apprentice, and he was on a team. There's an ambulance going by right now, and I do pay for that during podcasts to have an ambulance drive by, so I can like say my rides here, and then it cost me $10,000. So
he let you on air this one time, and you really made sure to pull out all the stuff.
I had to. So I'm glad we started on time. So or else, you know, we would have missed it. So what the hell was – oh, yeah. So Dennis Rodman was on Celebrity Apprentice, and he was like – Jose Canseco, who's also a former athlete, tweeted –
oh, I know Jose Canseco.
Yes. He can't – he goes, I can't wait to do my challenge this week with Gary Busey and Dennis Rodman. And I said, that sounds like – and I was just trolling. This was like 10, 15 years ago. I was like, oh, that sounds like a real group of winners. And then Dennis Rodman tweeted at me, and he goes, how many championships have you won? How many home runs have you hit? How many movies have you been in? And I – like, which, by the way – devastating burn on me, because the answer was obviously 0000.
And you had to be what, like 15 or 16?
I was like, I was probably 20 or 21, okay. 22, you know, but I was 45. And so he burned me with that, and I was like, oh, I haven't done any of those things, but I've also never done this. And there's a clip out there of Michael Jordan, or sorry, Dennis Rodman doing morning radio, and he's like doing an interview, but like receiving oral sex while doing the interview, and like you can hear everything. And
I
was like, yeah, I've never done any of those things, but I've never done this either. And then I sent that to him, because I'm like, boom, misogynist, gotcha. And he goes, he writes back to me, he goes, that was a good time, brother. I was like, all right, yeah, can't come back. I don't have the legs, the performance legs underneath me yet to win a banter off with Dennis Rodman. So that's on Twitter still, I think.
All right,
but
guys, don't get any ideas for what this podcast is going to turn into, okay?
No.
We're social distancing. Okay, wait, so before we wrap it up, should I tell about that real quick, about that case that
I would love to, yeah.
Okay, it's really quick. So basically, every first-year law student has to take contracts. So there's a, in our contracts book, there was a case about Michael Jordan who sued, I forget who it was, but this concept of what's called a lost volume seller. So it's basically like, if you're locked into a contract, and if he's locked into a contract for to make shoes or whatever it was, and they don't get made, and he misses out on other opportunities to make shoes.
Like, it waters down his brand, which can cause him to hurt him, like, making money.
Ability. It's not so much that it's like the idea that I messed it up. So what it actually is like, he tried to argue that he was a lost volume seller, in that, like, the money that he lost from that, he can keep doing repeat appearances because his services are like, right. Like, he's, yeah, I don't know. Now I'm not explaining this well, and I wish.
No, I understand. I think I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so basically, like, it was the idea that he deserves damages because, like, the person who breached the contract is really not just losing one of his services, but, like, the potential for multiple.
Interesting.
Inexhaustible supply is what they say. Of, like, yeah. Anyway, so
yeah, that's
very
cool.
Protective of himself then. Well, great. This has been really interesting. I know that it's probably only on Disney Plus, and I don't have that, but I think this documentary sounds dope, and we will see what's going on with Kim Jong-un and Dennis Rodman. And now for our final segment about corporations, kind of. It's about businesses. So I'm taking an exam on Monday. Oh, wait, it's going to be Monday when you listen to this. So I might either...
Good luck.
Thank you. Depending on what time it is, I might be either in the exam or finish the exam. And that will be the end of my second year of law school. So great. So this is my last exam. And it's for my corporations class. And I was thinking about what to do for the podcast today. And I was like, sometimes I like to study and write podcast segments at the same time a lot. I do that a lot. But I've never talked about my corporations class. And I was thinking about how, like, obviously right now the economy is not doing well, but in the past and hopefully in the future, I've heard a lot of people wonder about the LLC, the limited liability company, which is becoming more and more popular. So I figured I'd explain the difference between a corporation and an LLC. So in order to do this, you guys are going to participate with me. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Blake and Ross. You guys are two savvy young gentlemen who decide to start a business. What's the business? Please make this funny. What do you
think it's about? Like, it's a prank company. So you pay me and I will perform pranks on your friends and family.
Blake, are you investing in this?
God, that's a good one. Yeah, of course. Yeah, okay. I would like to be an angel investor in this.
Thank you, Shark.
Okay, so... We have a company, you guys, as we're going, please think of a name. So we have a company that's basically, you can pay the two of you, or maybe Blake, I don't know if you just want to be the like background guy, or if you want to get in on the pranks too, but you pay someone to show up and prank someone. And
I want to be a franchisee. I want to own one of these stores.
Then you might need to be a corporation.
Or one of these Rosses. I want one of the Rosses to come do my prank. Yeah.
Okay, great. So you're starting business. Now, one thing you want to consider, is it just the two of you? Are you going to bring other investors on board? Maybe if it's something where it's like a family business, are you going to bring your significant others on? Or maybe you have a friend who's like single and in law school and like looking for business opportunities and investment opportunities and just wants to be included in something.
So I'm worried, and Ross, by the way, this is your baby. I don't want to, like, you know, I'm just an investor here, but I do worry that we might, I think we need funding for some of the pranks to have higher profile pranks, you know, in terms of like, you know, buying, you know, like location fees in terms like renting out a place, you know, like a warehouse or something where we can do some horrific prank where, you know, like someone's loved one's tied to a chair and, you know, yeah, blood and that sort of thing. I don't want all the
we got to get Ashton in on this.
Yeah,
oh,
I was
going to
say, we just buy Ashton Kutcher's time.
Yeah.
I'm not in on this. I'm just the lawyer advising you. Okay, so you're forming a business. You want to think about those things. You want to think about, like, how long term do you want to be in this? How much are you putting into it? Are there multiple people? And then, whatever, you have all these different options of types of entities that you can choose how to structure your business. So there are three options. The first is a partnership, which is pretty much what it sounds like. You guys would have like equal shares in it. I'm not going to talk about those today. The other options are a corporation or a limited liability company or an LLC. So both corporations and LLCs give you limited liability, which means you guys wouldn't be personally liable if for some reason your prank business went under and you owe debts to people or whatever. They wouldn't be able to seize your assets. Because I know you guys are both, where this is the 1%. So
yeah, you can see me. I'm sitting in front of so many button-down shirts.
Yeah. So if you're, I mean, obviously you have to keep your business and personal assets separate. Like if Blake starts dipping into the prank business's funds, then he totally could be liable. But you also like can't dip into the company, or you can't dip into each other's funds. Like you're protected is my point.
Cool.
Both LLCs and corporations are recognized in all 50 states and in DC. So that's cool. So you guys have options there. Those are the similarities. Are you ready for the differences?
I am.
Okay. A corporation. By the way, among corporations, LLCs, and partnerships, there are like subgenres, but I'm just going to do general. I'm focusing on C-corps, which are like what you would traditionally think of, like incorporated, whatever. In a corporation, the management structure has to be like a certain way. So you guys have heard, I literally learned everything I know about corporations from 30 Rock. Spoiler for television, but like, all the like basic business terms. I just feel like on day one of my class, I was like, Jack Donaghy. So the management structure of a corporation is like what I feel like what we think of when we think of business. You have like your shareholders who like, they're all the investors and they own the shares and they get to elect the board of directors, and the board of directors makes big picture decisions. And then they elect the officers, like the CEO and stuff. And the CEO does the day-to-day things. And oftentimes, like, shareholders elect themselves to the board. That just happens. But with a corporation, you can only be a publicly traded corporation. You can't do that with, like, LLCs and stuff. LLCs can't be international. Corporations can be international, recognized internationally. And, like, outside investors prefer corporations for various reasons. But the other big thing about a corporation is that they go through what's called double taxation. So corporations pay taxes by themselves. So like, so you get taxed as a corporation and there's like the corporate tax rate. And then if you're an investor or shareholder or whatever, and you get profits, you get taxed on that on your personal tax return. So double taxation. There are reasons why like people like that method, so that's corporation. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Your business might be a corporation.
We'll see.
We'll see. It's probably going to be an LLC. And here's why. An LLC, you don't need to worry about going public and stock and all that. You can't be international. So I guess if you want to do the international prank industry, fine. But LLCs are way more flexible. So you don't have to do the whole like board, shareholders, blah, blah, blah. You can just have like you guys team up and get equal shares and equal votes and stuff. Like it can just be like the two of you manage it together. Which is like,
here's a quick question. So hypothetically, if our prank company, hypothetically, we already had this prank in the works where we were tricking everyone into thinking that the head of North Korea was dying, would we be on the hook for that if we were already an LLC? Hypothetically.
On the hook for if he died?
No, just the money that we make from that prank. That prank hypothetically would be taking place internationally. So we'd have to be a corporation in order to make money off this international prank.
Yeah,
that be doing.
Right. So you would make money off it in the States.
Yes. Yes. I mean, we'd have to talk. Ross would have to better explain. You know, our But we haven't really talked about how we generate money.
Well, would it make a difference if we executed the prank that would take place in North Korea in international waters?
Well, by these waters,
really stuck on this international thing. The big
by these waters being international in nature, though many laws do not apply, they are still not of a nation. They are internation. No.
So your LLC and your corporation wouldn't be recognized.
Okay, cool.
But do you have any questions on the management structure or the tax structure?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. So where was I? LLC, you guys can manage it together, which honestly, it sounds like you've got a great foundation for making decisions together already. The chemistry is just off the charts. The other thing that you can choose with an LLC is how you're taxed. So you could do the double taxation thing, which like I said, some people like for random reasons. But you can also do a pass-through tax, which means the LLC doesn't have to file its own returns. It doesn't get taxed at the corporate level. It just gets taxed on your guys' individual returns. So it's only taxed once. So those are your options. Now, let's get back to your prank business. What are we thinking?
I mean, I think an LLC is the way to go, even though it would make Blake and I equals, which I don't love.
Ross should not love that, and I agree. I agree, LLC.
Well, great. Well, any ideas for the name LLC, now that we've picked an LLC? Any ideas before we close the segment out?
How about we call ourselves Jordan Peel, but it's spelled P-E-E-L, and then there's like a banana peel that is the J.
And it's wearing a Michael Jordan jersey.
Yeah, and then when people are done with the pranks, they tell us to get out.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That was a journey yes. to get to the name. But
well, Blake, I mean, when people are being pranked, it feels like they're in an episode of The Twilight Zone.
Whoa. Okay,
I think that's the key to this whole thing.
Our key appeal.
Yes.
Oh, I get what you're doing a lot of Jordan Peele jokes.
Yep. What? You I think mad that's a TV?
That's a Peretti good idea, Ross.
Okay, well, she's the best.
Wait, here's a question. Oh, sorry, here, you finished. I was going to ask like a specific question. So for stand-up, for instance, because I know some of my comedian friends have incorporated themselves, and I'm wondering, like, when would that – I might be putting you on the spot here, but, like, at what point would that make sense for you to do? Like, so,
have
like, why would that make sense?
Have they incorporated themselves or have they become LLCs?
They become LLCs, I think.
Okay. So that makes sense. So the whole thing would be, and it's actually not uncommon at all to do. You would, if you're primarily earning your income from comedy, you should be an LLC, I think, because it protects your personal assets. So when you're hired for a gig, if you're hired as a consultant from an LLC, then if there's any sort of issue where, like whatever the case may be, it just protects you from liability, and you're still. And you're doing it on your taxes. You can be a single member LLC where it's like all the profits come in. You're still declaring on your taxes. It's just a different form. Nothing really changes. It's just a liability thing. It just protects your, it separates your business from your personal assets.
So if I'm performing at a college and I like kick a kid in their legs and their like leg gets injured, they would sue Blake Wexler, the company, if I'm an LLC and not the person?
Yeah.
Good. LLC it is.
Well, yeah, actually, no, that's a good point, though. There are definitely perks to, even if you're an individual, forming an LLC. I hope that people enjoyed this segment. I tried to make it peppy and fun and informational, and let's face it, I hope I pass my exam. I'll probably, actually, if my professor, I'm going to probably send it to him, so if you're listening.
Well, let's just say, Hannah, that if you walk into the exam room and you see that something isn't quite right, you might just be the victim of a prank by Jordan Peele, LLC.
Joke's on you, because I'm not walking into an exam room because I am quarantined. All right, bye. And now it's time for HTHT, Hannah Trapp's Hot Takes. Welcome, everybody. Well, listen, we all know we're quarantined. It's happening. We've been watching the news. That's funny, especially when we're eating Tide Pods. But we figured this week we'd talk a little bit about television.
A thing that, Hannah, you never watch.
No, I watch some. Yes, that's true. Okay, fair enough. I don't watch a lot. Remember that time I watched Tiger King, though?
Yeah, the first three episodes. That was fun.
No, I mean, I watched all of them, but yeah, we only talked about the first three. I didn't want to do spoilers. I watch some television, but yes, I don't watch that much of it. So I thought that it would be fun to ask you and Blake what your favorite shows are and what you're watching right now. And then I'll tell you guys mine.
Yeah, Blake, do you want to go first?
I would love to. I was waiting for you to ask. So favorite show of all time. A lot of people say, everyone always goes The Wire, Breaking Bad, Sopranos, and those are all like some of my favorite shows of all time. But my favorite show is 6 Feet Under from HBO. And it is like, I don't know how it's flown under the radar. It is like, if you have HBO now,
under the radar. Okay.
Son of a bitch. I'm done. No, I'm done. I'm done.
No, Blake, come back.
I'm not doing this. And no, I'm out. That's just fucking makes me sad.
So, everyone says The Wire.
Yeah. Yeah. Wire is considered like one of the best shows.
I've heard good things. Everyone, all the men on Bumble have The Office.
Oh, sure. Well, they love pop culture.
Well, they say that's what she said, and they think it's the funniest fucking thing. You know, The Office is great. The Office is one of those shows where, or one of those things where sometimes the fans of something can ruin a great thing for you. You know, where like, I feel like a lot of Office fans, just because it's widely available, they're like, I don't have enough.
Not the ones listening to this podcast. You guys are great. No, I mean, The Office, I also feel like people whose favorite shows are The Office, it's one of those, I'm like, it's such a good show. I don't know if it's even factored in as far as my favorite shows, because I'm like, it just like is something bigger than us.
It's an amazing show. It doesn't have to be your comedic identity, Travis.
Anyway, we're back to that. I've never seen The Wire. I watched the first season and a half of Breaking Bad, and then it made me cry, and I was like, I don't want to watch this.
Oh, 6 Feet Under, like, so it's a family, it's basically a family drama about a family that owns a funeral home, and it deals with death, and like, it's one of the most I don't want to spoil anything. There's 6 seasons. You're gonna fall in love with these characters like they're your own family, and there's so much tragedy in it. Like, there's so many, like, there's an episode in which, like, I'm not even going to say when it was, but, like, that I cried in a way, like, I bawled my fucking eyes out to the point where my girlfriend and I couldn't believe what we were feeling. Like, it was unbelievable.
Wow.
And I've never done that, like, watching TV before.
This aired a while ago. When did you get into it? When did you guys watch it?
We watched it, like, a year or two ago. Okay. So, but yeah, it came out, you know, like, it's funny, the first few seasons, it's like, what would the show come out in like 1961, just because we're so used to HD and everything. But it is, if you're bored and you're quarantined right now and like you want to like feel shit, that is, I could not recommend it any higher. It's so good.
Yeah. Are you watching something right now?
Yeah, we actually just started last night, Friday Night Lights.
Yeah,
it's cool. It's like really cool so far. Huh?
I said it like I've seen it. I've of course never seen it, but
that's really cool. And then underrated, What We Do in the Shadows, the FX show, is so funny. It's like fucking hilarious.
Watching that now, and like I hear it in the background, and I'm like, this is so great. Like, okay. I don't have time. Crazy. But it's great.
It's funny.
It's like Jermaine Clement's show.
And I love him.
Taika Waititi, that's not how you say his name. That's not going to age well. The way I just pronounced that.
You did your best.
Thank you.
I love
it. It's their show.
I love Flight of the Conchords.
It's What We Do in the Shadows is based off a movie that they did. It's about like vampire roommates, and it is like one of the funny. Nothing makes me laugh like that movie, and then they made a show out of it, and the show's hilarious too. Like, it doesn't disappoint, so it's really funny. You should watch. You'd like it, Hannah.
Okay.
And Ross, from how we know each other, in the limited interaction, seems like you have a great sense of humor.
Liability company.
Yes. Yeah, I need to like sit down and watch. I want to watch the original movie too, just because it seems great.
Yeah.
Ross, what's your favorite show?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like forming a lot of my like comedic personality, I gotta go with Scrubs.
Yeah, you've mentioned it before.
I love Scrubs so much. That's right. On a previous episode of this podcast, I stated that one of my first crushes was Zach Braff. Mm-hmm.
It's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great show. Sure, some of it hasn't aged well, but like it's a really interesting show, and like when it's great, it's great. Mm-hmm. And then what I'm watching now, and I couldn't help but think about this while like you were talking about 6 Feet Under. We're currently watching The Leftovers from HBO.
Ooh.
And
that'll bum me out.
Scary?
No, so it's just a bummer of a show. But uh-huh. Really season one is a bummer, and then season two and three is just wonderful storytelling. But it's basically a random global event happens. 2% of the world's population just disappears without a trace. And it's just about like searching for answers when there are no answers, and kind of like it really becomes a show about religion and kind of how belief systems are formed and kind of like what people become. And it's really, really interesting. And like, holy shit, it's such a great show.
I am such a comedy nerd that like, and you know what? I used to work in like the social services field as a case manager. It's like similar to social work. And I remember at the time my roommate, I was there for 4 years, and one of my roommates was watching the show Shameless, and they're like very poor and they have a really, you know, rough family dynamic. And I guess there's of course funny elements to it too, but it's really intense. And that's the thing with Breaking Bad. I saw so much terrible shit at my job that like I already was a comedy fan, and it pushed me even more to that. I'm currently watching, and I'm almost done, Schitt's Creek,
which fun.
Is very funny. Have you guys watched this?
I watched a little bit of it.
This was a show that, because like my girlfriend and I have been together for a really long time, and
we
watch everything together. And this was a thing where I had a lot of shows 1 week, so she just started it, and I just have never been able to catch up. So it's a show I'll probably never see unless she like goes missing or something, and then I have like time to catch up on it. So, but yeah, we actually were walking our dog the other day and saw Dan Levy from that show.
He's so funny. Wait, he's my favorite, he's not my favorite. He is my second favorite. Catherine O'Hara plays.
She's so funny.
Catherine O'Hara is wonderful.
I know her from other things, but in this show, she cracks me up so much. I cannot say enough good things about her performance. In fact, I think that this past season, she was nominated for something. This character is funny, but I think she also, I mean, obviously, like, good actors bring the character to life.
It's
but
also
this
just,
is
like,
one
high
more
time that she's recognized. Like, I'm such a fan of, like, all the Christopher Guest movies, and just, like, watching Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara just do this on a more regular basis is so great.
Oh, my God. She's so, and just even the way she talks, she's so funny. So I've been watching that. I've been very much enjoying it. My favorite show of all time is 30 Rock. I don't think there's ever been a finer show that's ever been created. Because this is my podcast, I get to say two shows. My other favorite show is Nathan For You, which if you've never watched Nathan For You, it's on Hulu and Comedy Central. It is a show, we've just been talking about corporations and LLCs. It is a show, real people, this comedian, Nathan Fielder, real people. He gets real people to come on a show and he tries to help them with their businesses. And I have never cried laughing at a pilot episode before this show. I was crying laughing at the pilot. It's so good. I highly recommend. It's one of those shows too that like people just don't know about. And he actually did like a tour for the newest episode or the newest season when it came out. And I went to see him. He opens the show by singing "Born to Die" by Lana Del Rey. Like, doesn't say a word. Opens, and then he does this whole thing where he's talking about the venue. He's like, "Oh, it's so nice to be here." He's like, "We've been at a lot of venues where Simple Plan has just played," and he's like, "What, does anyone know about the band Simple Plan?" And he like pulls his phone out and he's like reading some of the lyrics like to "Welcome to My Life," and it's like, "Have you ever been alone in your room?" And he's like, "This is really relatable." And then it gets like darker and he's like, "Sounds like this band has some mental problems." It's great. So Nathan For You, I don't even know how to explain it other than it is an experience.
It's
like
amazing.
If you want to get like points with your comedy nerd friends, like this is the way to do it.
Who would ever want points with comedy nerds? Those are not the people you're trying to
Fine. You know what? My parents liked the show a lot, so maybe you will too.
Yeah, everyone I've shown it to. It was funny at this event, though. The reason I brought this up, so it's like, very much like high school boys love this show, and I was sitting in between. I didn't realize how teens love the show, so I was sitting there. I went with a couple friends, but we had all bought our tickets separately, so I was sitting in between two dad son combos. Like, it was like,
oh, that's nice.
One dad and his two, his son and his son's friend, and then on the other side, this dad and his son. And the one was chatting with me, and he's like, I was like, you know, going through the program, whatever, you're making chit chat with the person next to you. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm here with my son and his friend. They love the show. I've seen it. It's pretty funny. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm here as a grown woman alone. So I love the show. It's pretty funny. Yeah, I would say those are probably my favorite shows. I also love The Good Place. Do you guys watch The Good Place?
Yeah.
That I might just, like, I know it just ended and rewatching it seems quick, but I kind of just want to, that is a show, that finale made me cry really, really hard.
It was a great finale. Honestly, I might start, Hannah, have you ever seen Frasier?
I remember watching it at night when it was on, but I mean, I hear good things. I have friends who are really into Frasier.
Yeah, actually. I'm one of them. It's a great show. And especially now that like you're like a radio host and I'm your producer, like we can relate more to it.
Am I Frasier in this situation or is he?
Yeah. And that means I'm Roz and I'm all about getting fucked.
You guys remember the episode of 30 Rock where that would be a real role reversal for us, Ross. No, I'm kidding. Do you remember the 30 Rock episode with Kelsey Grammer where...
I'm Frasier.
Damn you, Frasier! Okay, that's such a funny episode.
So funny.
Okay, any other recommendations that people should watch before we wrap this up?
I have one more recommendation. I did like a comedy and a drama. If you just want to like feel good, because I know like a lot of people are probably like going through a lot of shit right now. Not me. Things have never been better. there was a show called The Great British Bake Off or Great Baking Competition. And it is like fucking morphine. It is the sweetest show where like it's so sincere. Like, there's no, I've never seen a sincere show like that anymore, where with reality TV, it's always people undercutting each other. And
no,
like,
Queer Eye is sincere.
Yes, oh, with Queer Eye, too. Yeah, Queer Eye.
I remember watching Queer Eye and being like, this is very adorable and wonderful.
That's a really good point, too. Queer Eye is like that as well. And like, but Queer Eye, like, at least there is, you know, Queer Eye can, like, make you tear up every once in a while, you know? Like, but with this, with British Baking Show, it is just... You watch these people sincerely bake cakes. They're British.
Like, they help each other out.
They help each other out. Yeah. Like, they'll help each other like arrange the cakes. And like there is something about cakes that is so funny as like a food as well. Like it is just like cakes are funny. So, but it's just if you just want to like feel nice, you know, just turn that on for an hour. It's great.
Hell yeah,
also, I thought of another recommendation in that similar vein of if you just want like morphine that just like feels good for TV. Yeah. Flea Market Flip is such a wonderful show. So it is such mild competition. It's people go to a flea market and they like have to find things and then like reupholster, repaint, and then sell them for a profit. And the winner gets $5,000. So there's like no real incentive besides just like, oh, we didn't get $5,000. That stinks. Like they're all so
I mean, we're all billionaires, so that's
exactly.
It's nothing.
I have a prank business. like they have such like dumb little like, oh, we're gonna beat you. Like we're better at Art Deco, and it's so cute and fun.
That sounds great.
And
I
you
like
get to
that.
Yell at the screen.
I like that kind of stuff. I'm not a big reality TV person. I also I've watched Great British Bake Off, and I've also watched Nailed It.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a fun one because it's like the Great British Bake Off, except everyone doesn't know how to bake. Well, listen. Amazing. Sounds like we have some great suggestions of things to watch. This has been a very fun episode. Blake, thank you so much for coming. Blake, where can we follow you and stuff at?
At Blake Wexler on all the social media. Okay, I have a podcast as well. You can edit this out. Blake's Takes for God's Sakes, which every Wednesday is a full episode. I give like my take on a current event from four subjects: politics, relationships, leisure, and sports each week. And then every Friday I do.
That's
like,
literally what we just did on here.
I know, but it's only me. I don't need guests. I don't need a crutch. Hannah, it's just me. And then on Fridays, I write like a 2-minute monologue of jokes on current events. So it's twice a week. And,
that's Blakey News, right?
Yeah. It's like a spinoff of a thing that doesn't deserve a spinoff. So, every Wednesday is full episodes.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. You're so
thank
great.
You.
Ross, you're great.
Aw.
Everyone's great. Thank you again to our essential workers and our healthcare workers. Everyone, stay safe and have a great day.
This has been Keep You Posted, hosted and executive produced by Hannah Trav, produced and edited by me, Ross Wiseman. Our art and logo is by Kristen Finger and our music by Graham Trav. For a list of our sources from the episode, bonus content, and to get in touch with us, visit us at www.keepyoupostedpod.com.